Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ah yes, the magnificent Trolley Sourbright Crawler, also known as Trollicus brightolus. The worm's captivating neon colour makes it an easy gummy prey.
Trolley!
It's a surprisingly sour, invitingly chewy, staggeringly snackable species unlike anything else found on this planet.
Eat me!
Delicious. Visit Trolley.com to shop now.
Trolley, eat me!
Welcome to the Good Food Podcast. In this episode, Malak Abazu chats with Callum Harris about how his vegan journey began and what his mum had to say.
My mum was worried I was going to wither away and I was going to become malnourished. And she said, if you do, and it's her voice like, if you do go malnourished, just go back. It's fine. And I thought, you know what, mum? You're probably right. If I, for two, lose myself and I go away and I disappear into dust, then I shall return to the meat and dairy.
Plus, how he keeps his vegan diet exciting.
Well, welcome, Callum Harris. How
Hello.
Nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
I feel like the energy is really going to pop here today.
I feel
what
like,
do you think?
Look, we're wearing jumpers. I'm in blue and... I'm in white, you're in blue. I mean, it's a great vibes. We look like the ocean.
Well, listen, veg is on my mind a lot. So I'm really excited to be talking to you today.
Mm.
And now the 20 Minute Vegan is your first cookbook, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
That's fab.
Yeah, it's fab. I mean, I'm like... not saying this as like a flex or anything like that, but like I'm 24 and usually those kind of things happen in probably like late 20s and whatnot, and especially cookbooks. I don't think you ever see like a lot of young people make cookbooks these days. So they're mainly on the internet and I am there too. But first one out the window.
Sounds great. So what brought on, tell me what brought on this love for vegetarian food?
The love for veg really stemmed from going vegan at first. So I was always on the fence about vegetarians and especially vegans. I used to think they were preachy. I used to think in order to be one, you had to like stand with a cardboard sign in Trafalgar Square every September and like honestly like talk about how the climate's
changing.
They're
outside waiting for you
now. Genuinely. Like I thought you had to have a pitchfork and walk around. Also thought you had to have a farm. And really, it's simply not the case. I mean, obviously these are like stereotypes like everything, but what really made it approachable for me was making sure I could get good food out of it. So the focus for me was making sure you could have healthy meals that you could make and they'd actually be delicious and not necessarily rely on that alternative aspect. So a lot of vegan food relies on this isn't chicken or this isn't beef. And for me, I was motivated by that at first, but now I guess it goes into a point where it's like, look, the food's just got to be good and just so happen to be a plant-based or vegetarian alternative. So that really intrigues me to this day. And it's kind of the reason that I am cooking this way and continue to do so.
I love that. And that is a real problem, isn't it? Is that being vegetarian or vegan, you have such an array of choice.
Mm.
You know, there's so many vegetables. We don't have to be limited by things that are easily available.
Yeah.
You know, and especially seasonal veg. You know, there's a big conversation in the food world about, you know, how there's a lack of diversity in the vegetables and fruits we consume.
Mm.
So do you touch on that? Do you work with that a lot?
Do you know
introducing
what?
New, different things?
Honestly, like, the more I'm in this, the more I'm learning. So when I first started cooking, it was just what's in the supermarket, grab it and make something with it and essentially hope for the best. When now, like, the more I'm into this, the more I understand that fruit doesn't bloom all year round. And that's an expression you can have mentally as well.
Mm-hmm.
But genuinely, you don't realize how the globe works in terms of, like, the fruit and veg. The fruit and veg market. I guess when you go into a supermarket, we have everything at our disposal in the UK. So it's just like, you can grab strawberries, you can grab a watermelon if you want in December. that's not the right time to eat it at all. So I guess now I'm understanding that, like, I look at labels a bit more deeper. I'm like, okay, cool. If it's British, usually it's in season and you can grab it, and it's obviously a lot better than what it is.
I love that. I love that you can actually, that's a very simple technique, isn't it? Mm. If you just flip over a pack.
Yeah, I mean, most of us just grab based of what we fancy. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, oh, tomatoes might taste of water. We'll have them anyway, even if they're
not in season. You're 24. It's just blown my mind that you've made braised red cabbage for Christmas. That is very grown up.
Yeah, it's very old, isn't it? I made all the Christmas feasts this year.
You're like an old man trapped in a young boy's body.
Yeah, ish. But also, I feel like every cook has to have that element.
Good.
But, yeah, it's good. I made the Christmas roast this year. Everything but the turkey, basically. And that was like genuinely running a kitchen. I'm obviously not experienced in that hospitality aspect. So all respect goes out to the restaurants and the staff that do brilliant jobs better than me. But doing that would kind of made me feel like the man of the gaff, like the man of the house. I was like, yeah, I can handle everything. Like, if you can handle Christmas feast and you do it well.
I think that's definitely, that's a rites of passage that you've now gone through.
Exactly.
Yes, this is like, good.
I've got the green flag. They were holding cardboard signs up at the end of it. They were
You're just holding up your Christmas dinner.
Yeah, they were loving it.
And the 20-minute thing is quite important as well, because there is perhaps a potential misconception that it takes time to cook veg and prep them. And how was that important to you? Like the quick thing?
Yeah, absolutely. So I had this idea for a few years now, and my full-time job is making social media content as well as cookbook writing. So essentially, you use social media as your testing ground. So you can find out if people like your idea, or furthermore, they're going to benefit from what you're doing. A lot of the times when we do make recipes, they're there to either obviously entertain and obviously educate, but also for me, it's about trying to solve a problem. And it's not the big problem of the climate, because I feel like I will solve that through the cooking, but it's about people problem. It's about, okay, if you're busy, are you actually going to want to spend a few hours making a vegan meal that's going to put you out of your way? No, you probably want something convenient. You'd probably be on your app tonight ordering a takeaway. But it's about trying to deal with a misconception that you can't cook vegan food quickly, and you really can. And I learned cooking from my mum, and really it came down to like the reason why was just I wanted to feel better. And better than I did. And I kind of wanted to, you know, have a bit of confidence about myself in terms of like, if I am independently living, I can survive on my own.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about your family and when you were growing up. So why weren't you feeling great?
It was just a case of self-confidence. So I guess when I was younger, probably from like 12 to 15, I was a tubby bubby, if we can put that politely.
Aww.
Yeah, but nothing wrong with that. I think for me, I wanted to get into fitness. And I also knew that a lot of fitness culture was about doing HIIT workout and a lot of like high intensity running and weightlifting and things. And that at the very beginning is quite hard to motivate yourself into. So I started looking into food and what that can do. And really, and this is a figurative figure around 80% of a diet or a healthy lifestyle revolves around the diet. So I started learning how to eat and how to cook. And I used cookbooks like Jamie Oliver's and Joe Wicks's at the time, and started to learn how to cook, and thought, if these people are doing it, then why can't I?
Love that.
And my family like love the food, like they're very health conscious as well, in like a relaxed way. Like, we know what's good, we know what's not. And they're not vegan.
They're not vegan.
Nah, so but they appreciate my food.
What do they? I was going to ask. What do they make of your turn?
Do you know what? They were hesitant at first. When I first went vegan, my mum was worried I was going to wither away, and I was going to become malnourished. And she said, "If you do," and it's her voice, like, "If you do go malnourished, just go back. It's fine." And I thought, do you know what, mum? You're probably right. If I lose myself and I go away and I disappear into dust, then I shall return to the meat and dairy. But do you know what ended up happening? None of that. Like, I think I did a month of vegan cooking, and that really spearheaded me into doing more of it because I felt energized. I felt like I had a real spring in my step. And also, I was excited by the food I was making. You have to be a really good cook to make veg taste good.
Because I would agree. But also, I think it's important to just stop and say that, you know, you shouldn't just quickly change your diet without having proper supervision.
Exactly.
Your mum would have keeping a close, she would have been keeping a close eye on
you. Of course, yeah.
So it's really important that.
Definitely.
But that's great. So what did you guys eat? Do you remember? I mean, talk to me about the veg you ate when you were growing up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, every parent will recognize the challenges with getting like a wide range of veg down their children's throats. So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, for me, I didn't grow up on like purely veg diets.
Sure.
It was a case of like making a lot of a stodge, if you will. Like I remember getting like mac and cheese for dinner and chicken and sweet potato and just genuinely like starchy carbs and proteins from usual sources. Probably like I think a standout was the Sunday roast at home, and my dad used to make it, and God knows what he used to put on everything, but it used to taste all right. But yeah, no, my diet was mainly essentially just what was being made for families at the time, because my mum was doing pretty much everything. So we got what we were given.
Sure.
And really, like, you're not going to be fussy to your mum. And when you are about veg, you probably just go, oh, do you know what? You'd be fine in the future. But really, you do need veg. You need all these things coming through. Also, on the note of that whole the vegan thing, and it draw back to her comments and about her worries, when I first got into this, it was a case of like weaning into it as well. It weren't a cold turkey overnight. I don't do that well. I'm not one of those people that goes, all right, cool, I'm doing it. I would rather just slowly get into it. A bit like, you know, when you get into a warm bath and it's a bit too warm, but then you run the cold just to, you know, soothe it in a bit. I prefer that than getting straight into a hot bath and trying to sit in there and like feel somewhat uncomfortable with it.
I see your analogy there. Yes.
Yeah.
It's sort of working. Yeah.
Sort of. I mean, like that kind of helps, I guess.
And that is a very important and valid point. But tell me a little bit about a dish that you remember from your childhood. You said roast, but was there something that your parents gave you that you loved and that you cook now still, potentially?
Do you know what? My mom used to make this like get me well soup. And essentially it was the simplest like ramen-esque dish where it was just a one pot, and she would put vegetable stock, she'd put udon noodles in it, she would put savoy cabbage, she would do onions, garlic, ginger, all of that, peas in there, and it would just be a nice stock with noodles in it, quite miso-y. And she used to do that with salmon, but for me, tofu. And I think she still does the tofu now. And that was like probably a recent, like probably a fair few years ago. And to this day, I still make dishes like that, where it's just that quickness of going, all right, cool, shove everything in the pot, hope for the best. And obviously, like, you want flavor bomb straight away. So obviously stock helps with that. Miso paste helps with that. Fresh ginger, like, just elevates things straight away. So then you're not having to sit there for hours with something. You've got something immediate that can obviously, like, make you feel better. Because
Food
does do that.
Absolutely. And it must remind you so much of comfort, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember what it was like when she brought that out?
I love getting cooked for. So I love home food. Like, I love it when I actually just sit down and there's like something ready. Like the feeling when you do come in after work, because I did used to have a real job before this.
Hey, this is also a real job. Yeah, what is this? Don't knock it.
I mean, I sit around and I film videos. But really, I remember getting back from like work and commuting, and then just hearing there's a chili on, or there's something that you can just go in and the pot's been sitting there, grab it, all done for you. Like, that really like speaks to me. And also, I think unsung heroes, parents, they really like carry like the whole ship for you.
Yeah, they so do, don't they? Thank you, Callum, for saying that. By the way, we feel very underloved.
How old normally. Are your boys again?
I have a girl and a boy, and they're 15 and 13 in a bit.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm going through that motion.
It's that age,
maybe,
man.
I should talk to your mum. Bring her on the show next time.
Yeah, do you know what? My mum's probably more interested in me. Like, I have a theory that people away from the microphone are more interested than people on it. I mean, I'm pretty good, but like, honestly, like, it just happens.
It all kind of leads to the stories we tell, right?
Exactly.
Like, all of this stuff builds to an interesting life that's a bit different.
Yeah.
And, I'm going to ask you for some confessions now, because okay. I know it's not always perfect in the kitchen.
No, it's not.
Yes. So your biggest cooking disaster?
Oh. So I have had many cooking disasters when I've learned. I've had a few burns where, like, I will think I'm a whiz and I'll, like, try and shove things in the oven quickly. Like, think, oh, I can handle the hot tray with one hand. I'll be good. So that's, like, probably casual ones. But for me, I always flop baking at first.
Oh, see, I'm not the best of bakers.
I'm not
either.
A good baker. So for me, baking is a science. Cooking is an art. Cooking is one of these things that if it goes slightly wrong, if it's a bit too salty, rectify it with acid. Literal acid. Like, I'm talking like limes and stuff.
Flavor.
Obviously, we're on a good food podcast. Like, they'll know what I'm on about.
Flavor profile,
yeah.
Yes.
If you just mention salt, fat, acid, heat, they'll
That's
know what
it,
you're on
you're
about.
Done.
Yeah. But point being is, baking is a science to a point where, like, you have to put everything in an oven, shove it in and hope for the best. And I've had things where, like, I tried to make croissant donuts in my early days of cooking.
Cronuts. Yes.
Basically, I didn't realize the importance of yeast and water. Yeast is a living organism that needs warmth to survive, like us. Like, we're in jumpers. We need warmth to survive. So I popped in what I thought was lukewarm water, but instead was cold water, and I mixed the yeast, like did the recipe, put it in the fridge to rise. The thing did not rise. Mm. And I thought, oh, I'll give it another few hours, probably needs a bit more time. The thing flattened. So what I had started as croissant donuts, it just didn't look great.
That does not sound good.
No, it didn't look good. So I've had disasters like that. Honestly, it all happens in the kitchen.
Well, there'll be loads more, but that's part of the fun, right?
Yeah, it's the tip of the iceberg theory.
Let's go. Have you ever served something ready-made and pretended that you made it?
Oh.
We won't judge, don't worry.
No, I don't know. Oh, probably like hummus. I've definitely put a hummus and made it like from a tub. And then I've dressed it up a bit.
Dressed it up.
Yeah.
Like zhuzhed it.
Yeah,
zhuzhed
it. Put
something.
A bit of parsley and a bit
right.
of oil in
Olive
it. And
oil,
and it looks shop bought.
If you're eating Callum's hummus, it's not his, by the way.
It will be. It will be if you come to mine.
okay.
The special people.
Just keep an eye out.
No, keep an eye out. imagine. And then like, oh, maybe a meat alternative here and there, like a vegan fried chicken I've shoved in the oven and then tried like with my meal and things like that.
Why not?
Do you know what? Just usual things.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense. And what about a guilty pleasure? Anything that we will catch you eating, like chicken?
No, you won't catch...
I'm only joking.
No, imagine. You won't catch me eating chicken. Also, like, I don't want people at my flat with a pitchfork. Like, someone probably knows. I don't know. But for me, chocolate.
Oh.
I'm a chocoholic. I love brownies. I love like pastries as well.
Mm.
Like flaky, good pastries.
Right.
It's just like...
So wait, you're not vegan anymore though?
I am vegan. I have this special place that I go to, which essentially does really good vegan pastries in Deptford. It's called Arapina. And that helps the craving as well. So I'm a real sweet lover. I love a dessert. I'm a main dessert person than a starter main person.
Mm.
So that's what you'll catch me in. Probably a bar of dark chocolate, and I'll sit there on the sofa and I'll watch some sort of good telly.
Because wait, vegan food, like what's a great vegan dessert?
A great vegan dessert. So I make a mousse with chocolate and I use silken tofu, which is a real hack ingredient because it's not the tofu you buy in shops in the box. It's in a carton and essentially it's high in protein, low in fat, and it behaves like a panna cotta. So when you get it out, it essentially wobbles. And if you take that and whip it with dark chocolate, put that into a glass and pop a little bit of maple syrup and sea salt on the top, just a bit, leave that in the fridge, you've essentially got the easiest pudding in your life.
Wow.
And it tastes restaurant quality. Like, I'm talking, make sure you get good chocolate, but it is a great dessert to
And is it mousse-like
on.
When you
it's very,
it?
It's oh. really mousse-like. So essentially, you take it and, like, it has the firm texture of mousse. Not aerated, but we're talking, like, you take it out and it's got density. It's got just richness in it. It's just one of them things that I'll make if I need to easily impress someone.
Mm.
And also if I just fancy, you know what, treating myself, sometimes I like leaving future me a little present, like going, okay, in the morning I'll make this mousse, and then
just
I know in the evening I'll leave it in the fridge, and I'll come back to it in the evening. I'm like, oh, I've got that mousse, don't I?
This is taking self-love to the next level, by the way.
I'm a big self-lover.
Hashtag
You've got to be. Like, how can you love if you can't love yourself?
Oh, that's great. I've got some quick fire questions for you. Now, this is going to be really tricky for you because you are only allowed to give me quick fire questions.
No, I can do that.
Can you?
Yeah.
Okay, you're on.
Yeah,
let's
do
this. Okay,
good.
First question. Least favorite kitchen job?
Cleaning.
Excellent.
I hate it.
Who cleans for you anyway?
Oh, I have to clean for myself because I live with another food creator, and he's like a cook that does surgery, essentially, because every time he'll cook something, he'll put it away after. I've never been that person. I walk in and it's a hurricane. I'm like, cool, I need a bit of this, with that. And I look at it and I'm like, crap, that's like an hour of tidying now that I've just set myself.
We've cleaning. Already ruined quickfire question, but that's fine.
Favorite kitchen job. We want it even quicker. Okay, cool.
Favorite kitchen job?
Oh, I like frying.
Oh, deep frying?
No, just pan frying.
Pan frying.
Pan frying.
It's quite therapeutic, isn't it?
It's very sizzle.
And also flipping things over. Mm.
When you get that good golden brown. Or it can make a break as well.
That sounds great.
That's all I'm going to say.
A good job. What does your perfect sandwich have in it?
Perfect sandwich has pretty bog standard, but I go for peanut butter and I go for good sourdough bread and I make sure it's slightly toasted.
Mm.
And I might put jam in there if I'm feeling sweet.
Best kitchen tip that you've ever received?
Probably tidying.
What, like tidy up after yourself?
Yeah.
Or you're going to go sit on the naughty corner?
I don't follow my own advice. I would say seasoning, like checking seasoning. So not just checking it when a dish is at completion. Check during the process. If something doesn't taste quite right and you're halfway through, rectify it there. Don't wait until the end.
Most trusted recipe?
Most trusted recipe for me would have to be, and I bang on about it a lot, but my pisto, which is a pesto with frozen peas in it.
Mm.
And I use breadcrumbs instead of nuts. I have a few nuts in there that are cashews, but they can be taken in and out. But breadcrumbs make your pesto lighter. And also it's good for food waste as well. So if
really
you've
got good.
The ends or bread, which no one really likes, if you do, you've grown to like it, take them, blitz them up, and then you've got the base of your pesto, essentially. And I would say
you've given it a little name, pisto, so you're not basically annoying every Italian on the planet.
No, yeah. Also, yeah. I'm going to annoy every nation because I'm a vegan anyway,
yeah,
and I'm having to make dishes up and try my best.
Sure, yeah. Sure. What's the worst thing you've ever eaten then? Something really, really quite distasteful.
Why is this so hard?
This is so hard, isn't it?
I once ate a biryani with chocolate sauce on the top.
No.
Yeah, so this was a...
Who is this criminal?
Yeah, so this was trending over lockdown, I believe. And essentially, it was biryani as you would make it.
Yes.
With essentially like that bottled chocolate sauce on the top. And apparently it worked. It didn't. It just felt really wrong because you know what it is that's going on top of it. I think maybe a dark chocolate could be compensating,
but
it makes no sense.
No sense
at
all.
I would say that's one of the worst things I've eaten.
Is there something you've discovered and you really enjoy as part of a vegan diet that your family are just like, oh goodness, no way?
Tempeh is a great one for me. So tempeh gets cooked wrong most of the time.
Mm.
So if you treat it like you would chicken and just try and fry it and things like that, it's nice and it's a grow to love kind of protein source. However, you can do things like leave it in stews or like simmer it in a stock for a good 10-15 minutes, and that takes away the bit of fermented flavor and gives you a really nice texture to it, and also just a really nice taste in general. And you can flavor the stocks. You could put like cloves of garlic, or you could put I sometimes put like whole limes in there. They're about to go off, and I leave it in the stock, and I just let it brew in this tempeh for just like only 15 minutes.
That sounds wonderful. And you know, for our listeners who don't know what tempeh is, because I think it's still quite a hidden gem.
It's still a hidden gem. And like, you'll find it in most supermarkets now, which is good. Just check the plant-based section of your big ones. It essentially is If you imagine edamame beans, you take those out the pods and you push them into a log, and that log gets fermented. And what you end up with is this really good protein source that's not only good for your gut because of the fermentation process, but it's a lot easier to prep than tofu. So you don't have to drain it. You just chop and you're away.
I think you described that really quite nicely. What's your ultimate comfort food?
I love a curry.
Oh, good boy.
I love a medium spice curry.
Very good.
I can handle my spice, but I don't want it so it blows my head off too much.
Well, it shouldn't, as you know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I quite like a strength where it's like tingling on the tongue and it's just balancing well. I like to make a raita with coconut yogurt. And I also like to do a naan bread as well. I'm trying to get better at making naan. Mm. I should say naan.
You should say naan. You said it first. I wasn't going to say anything.
It's not, yeah, naan.
Because naan is
saying
bread.
Naan bread is like saying bread. It's
yes,
the same as chai tea.
See, I thought I liked you. This is very
I'm
good.
I'm all right. But yeah, I like garlic and coriander naan. And my curry choice would usually be either a cauliflower korma.
Mm. So what makes you optimistic about the future, Callum? What are you looking forward to?
What am I looking forward to? I'm looking forward to more home cooking. I'm looking forward to more young people coming forward with their ideas and the way they make things. And I'm looking forward to being challenged as well. I'm looking forward to going into different kitchens. I want people with experience and be in a room with them and learn about how they cook. And really, that will then in turn improve the way I cook. And yeah, I kind of just am optimistic that what I've done so far is somewhat working, because you start this thing with actual delusion, thinking it's going to work, and you're not quite sure if it will. So I'm very optimistic that I'm at the beginning of my journey and still starting, and it's working.
Well, listen, we wish you all the very best for the future. I think it's amazing what you're doing. And here's to us eating more vegan food.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank
you for
having
me. It's been lovely talking to you.
Nah, lovely talking to you as well.
All my best, Callum.
No worries. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Good Food Podcast. Join us next week when Jose Pizarro will be speaking with me, Samuel Goldsmith, about his 25 years of cooking in London, plus his love of Spanish ingredients and his culinary confessions. For more recipes and inspiration, please visit bbcgoodfood.com.